Hello, sports fans, and welcome to episode 169 of SBC Sports Talk, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. We'll talk a little bit more about them, our billboard sponsor, in just a second. But first, we want to say hello to the other two guys who are with me, the talkers of the amongst the group. They are, in fact, Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com. Welcome in, Shane. How are you this evening?
Doing great, Bruce. I really want to say give a shout out to the SBC fans. I know you were telling me last week's one of the most listened to shows in our 6-year history. I certainly appreciate all the support they continue to give the website as well as our podcast show.
Yep, we really do appreciate them. And the other guy, the young guy amongst us, Mr. Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. Welcome in, Derek.
How you doing, guys? Good Sunday. Good football Sunday. Just a good week in general.
Well, there are some amongst us that would probably take issue with that, but we won't go there. Some of us Ohio State fans. Hey, everybody, we want to remind you that we are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn right off of Bridge Street. They are, in fact, open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. They will provide you all that good old Cardo's pizza, sandwiches, and so forth. They are the place for sports. They have an arcade, super inflatable land, of course, which they won't let me in. Must be the weight factor. I don't know what that is. But you can find all the information you need to go there at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. We really appreciate them being the sponsor for us for all these 6 years that we've been doing this, don't we? Hey, man, it has been a wild and woolly week in the SVC. We have things like this. We have in tennis, we have Sylvia Gray of Unioto in the state. We have in soccer a few SVC teams now out, but still have the Southeastern girls in the running. Cross country, we've had teams and individuals qualify for regionals. And volleyball, we got 6 teams heading to the district. And in football, just another great Friday night with multiple great games. We'll talk more about those in just a little bit. But with all that stuff going on in the SVC, Shane, what's the top headline that jumps out to you?
Well, gosh, guys, I mean, anytime you have kids going, advancing in tournament play, be it a team or individual, district, regional, state, that's exciting. You certainly, as we kind of hyped up last week, the Edler-Berkheimer head-to-head match you knew was going to be special, as well as what Zane Trace is doing. But I guess for me, guys, it's the volleyball league. Continue to be amazed that the SVC is just at a higher level than everyone else. I know it sounds like a broken record if you listen to SVC Sports Talk a lot, but I'm really going to make somebody mad here probably, but I guess I'm also equally amazed at how bad everyone else is. You know, I mean, I've been in a lot of basketball conversation. You'll remember at the end of last week's show, I was asking for different directions they wanted the show to go this week and next. And I did get into a lot of basketball things that we'll kind of stick into the show agenda this week. But, you know, the rest of the area has been so advanced at basketball. And, you know, with our volleyball, we just have more of a coaching longevity. I think the club in our area is advancing. Obviously, our Little League basketball does nothing to hurt basketball, which makes volleyball even stronger over the past 5-10 years. So, you know, we'll get to an email later and talk a little bit more detail about it. But I guess for me, it's the volleyball and then how that's going to tie into some of our basketball topics. Really fascinating to me as I was able to tie those together this week.
All righty. Mr. Webb, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, you got to, when you have, anytime you have 6 of 8 teams reach the district level in a sport, I mean, that's absolutely noteworthy. Since Shane went with volleyball, I agree with Shane, but I'll go with football. You know, and I mean, as Shane kind of talked about with Edler and Berkheimer there, kind of Unioto now in the playoff mix with a hopeful playoff game. Right now, well, before before last week's game, they were matched up with Clarksville Clinton Massey there in Division Four. So hopefully, maybe they stay away from that matchup. But you know, any time that a Union can get into the playoffs, it's the first time ever if that happens.
Yeah, Giants.
Yeah, I mean that's a big deal for that program. So hopefully, you know, nothing against the Edina Warriors, but hopefully they continue that train and kind of take another step for that program.
All right, we'll get more into the results and so forth in just a little bit. But guys, we knew the feedback would be hot and heavy after last week's show. And next, we see how volleyball and football were mentioned together in several discussions. So we're going to get into the inbox and some feedback here. But Shane, first, I want to give you an opportunity to talk to us a little bit about Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, give them a call, 740-986-4653. We talked last week about some of the cool events they're doing, such as the Browns Bengals thing and this morning there. And then the their league's events, their outings, they have great membership packages. I would just encourage you to get up there or at least give them a call and kind of see if you can't get up to play or see if some things in the future don't match up with what you're needing. So, guys, I guess with this look to the inbox or our feedback, I guess would be a better way to say it in general, being sponsored by Crown Hill. Bruce, I guess when I package it all together on the website, obviously with last week being so highly listened to, we knew a lot of the feedback would be about volleyball, the official list. And then I thought it was neat how it even tied into the SVC back of the year. So I tried to take all of that to not make people feel like they were getting left out of the show and tried to package in a few headlines to go off there and on your agenda. So I'll kind of let you just look through the notes there and sort it out as you think would best be for our discussion this week. But that's kind of just give the fans an idea how I was trying to sort out the feedback.
Well, it seemed like, as I looked through it, the number one topic in terms of feedback this week was concerning the all-league selections from last week as well as the official list from last week. The upcoming discussion or decision on the SVC back of the year will be in SVC football. So two things to summarize. First, we'll talk about this one. When selecting these individual awards, why is there so much attention on team success as well as the age of the players? It just seemed like that came up quite a bit in the discussion, Shane.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think first let me tack the age thing. That was obviously in the discussion with a lot of different people through email, through just face-to-face conversation, even had one text. I even had a couple just phone calls with some longtime friends where we just kind of talked SVC sports this week. Really enjoyed that, catching up with a few people. But as far as age, I think every situation is different. I think there's some situations where, maybe a freshman, sophomore is going to be treated a little bit differently. In my opinion, when selecting it, I just try to pick the best player. But I also understand when the coaches are involved and programs are involved, you have certain kids that are maybe in their second, third varsity year, and they're taking on different roles, and they're doing a lot of different things for the program. So to say that doesn't go into it would be a little bit blind to the truth, because I think that you do have that little sense of attachment or that loyalty a little bit. Within a program, I think sometimes it's a little bit of an old school thing. I don't have a problem with some different things with younger kids earning their keep. But I think once it comes time to go on the court or on the field and you're performing, I think that's probably the way you go about judging. And I think with a little bit of the old school feel, because of our little league programs falling apart and junior high sports and JV sports for sure, kind of getting the hit from that, I think what's happened is there's a lot of freshmen, sophomores being thrown more into spots that they wouldn't have been 15, 20 years ago. Now at the bigger school, you see this even more. Because maybe with the enrollment they have a lot more junior, senior loaded rosters. That's not to say there's not some freshmen, sophomores jumping in and playing roles, but a freshman on varsity, not as common at some of those schools, especially in football. I think we talk about it in football. I think when you have a freshman out there on Friday night, I think over the course of 10 weeks, when that young man's playing against 17, 18-year-old young men, That's going to show. That's going to show up, sure. And I think we've seen examples of that. And but as far as the team winning, I just don't think there's any way around that. I know it's an individual award, but look, guys, the concept of taking your individual skill and putting it into the team concept is what sports are all about. You know, making people around you better. The best teams also play on the biggest stages. And I guess, Bruce, this is where I would throw it over to Derek. You know, Derek, we look at the biggest stages is where a lot of these pressure situations are built, the expectations, and that allows a lot of these people, you know, obviously in volleyball, when we talked last week, it gives Devin Putnam or Matty Everts or Anella Skeens or Ricky McGill the highest covered games or the biggest stages to perform in those late game situations. And let's face it, you as a media member, you're going to cover the biggest games, especially down the stretch. If the first and second place teams are playing, and over at another site the fifth and sixth place teams are playing, chances are you're going to be covering the big matchup. So I mean, wouldn't you agree that a little bit of just from the media attention, it kind of talks a little bit about that team success and maybe where we put these kids on the biggest stage?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and that's a great point. You look at even this week and the upcoming games, you do have the best matchups, I tell you this, like this past Saturday, we as a paper decided to cover Chillicothe versus Athens in a volleyball game. We could have done that or covered Adena and Northwest in the volleyball game.
I should laugh, but I get it. Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, as much as obviously we support the Adena Warriors volleyball and the rest of the SVC goes in that same situation as well, because, you know, all of the SVC volleyball games this past Saturday went into a roundup. You kind of have this kind of feeling that this is Chillicothe's last volleyball game. The rest of the SVC is going to cruise to district. And that's exactly what happened. You know, you not only had six sweeps, but you had six dominant victories, where Chillicothe struggled with an Athens team who they had beat earlier in the season. So, you know, that's why we're there. I know we covered Uniota girls soccer and a Chillicothe girls soccer matchup as well. And really for the reason being, as again, those were going to be better games. Uniota and Circleville, I think Uniota, they had two own goals in that game. So kind of turned out to be not really a barn burner, a one-sided affair with Circleville coming out on top. But, you know, that game had the potential to be a very, very good game, which is why we cover it. So, you know, and that's a lot of times not fair to say Aaliyah McFadden at Paint Valley Volleyball, because we don't cover her much, but she's a great player. Same thing could go with, you know, the Evie Bennett, the Ashton Wards, Zane Trace, Becca Brown at Westfall. But when those two are going to play on the same night as Adena Uniota, you're going to cover that Adena Uniota matchup.
No question, yeah.
The other thing, Shane, that seemed to come about quite a bit was with regards to this, it said, with Putnam being player of the year in volleyball, do you think the football coaches will follow the same thinking and name Austin Harris POY in football?
Yeah, guys, it was really interesting how these things started to tie together later in the week, because, you know, coming off of the incredible Friday night, with what Edler and Berkheimer did, a lot of people were saying, hey, don't forget about Austin Harris, the quarterback of the SVC champions. So I guess I understand where they're coming from. I guess what I'll say here, Derek, and again, this is what's so fun about the show, Derek and I don't really prep for this stuff because we like for it to just be genuine off the top of our head discussion. But for me, I'll say probably it's a possibility, but for me, I would say no. I think with Zane Trace, when you look at a league champion, I think where they're going to get their biggest honor is in the number of kids they get, as well as how they're really going to get their due attention on the offensive line. Having a chance to see them in person, their offensive line is phenomenal. I mean, they go to work up front, and I mean, there's times that the ball carry, and don't get me wrong, the ball carries are really, really talented. The Harris kid is terrific. Etheridge Games, who I was high on in the regular season, has come through some different injuries, and his last, what, 3-4 weeks have been just off the charts. But there's times, Derek, when they hand the ball carrier the ball, they would be getting 5-6 yards in touch football. I mean, it's phenomenal the job that they're doing up front. And then what happens is you throw in the athleticism, those 6-7 yard carries turn into 20, 25 yard carries at some point. So I think obviously Harris is all league. He's a top 4 or 5 player. But I think with what the Edler's been able to do, especially if he's able to finish it off and go 8-2, he would personally be my pick. And that's not to take anything away from Harris or Berkheimer or the other fine quarterbacks and running backs. But when we talk back of the year, that's kind of how I probably would look at it there. But, you know, don't count out Berkheimer. You know, Veach is obviously incredible. But the football usually gets creative in their awards, meaning that they learn, they figured out different ways to spread the wealth. You'll see a lot of co-awards in football and different things there. They also get very specialized. They look not only at the back of the year, but a lineman and a special teams player, you know, and so forth. So Zane Trace will definitely get their credit. I just don't know if it'll be in that way. But, you know, it's interesting because Uniota is such a dangerous team. And, you know, with football not being a double-round sport, the fact that they played in week four, I really think was advantage Zane Trace. So hats off to the Pioneers. I think they're about ready to get their team attention and they'll certainly get honored. But that's just the way I would go in the individual award. You know, Derek, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree. When I covered Uniota and Piketon live this past week, to me, it was a battle to who was going to win that player of the year award. It was either, you know, I would put Austin Harris right up there in the top five, as you said. But just Gabe Berkheimer and Clay Edler do so much for their team. Whereas with Zane Trace's offensive line, I could hand the ball off to Etheridge Games and he could run through those holes. And I mean that's the type of thing. I mean Edler and Berkheimer just they
hold on.
And
you're saying you could now or you could have 5 years ago?
Oh no, not now. I've been eating a lot. when you sit at a chair and type, you know. But, you know, I mean, it's Edler and Berkheimer just kind of have that extra – they have the it factor, they like to call. You look at a 4th-and-22 play, and then Edler gains 27 with the game on the line. I mean, could Harris do the same? Absolutely. But I just think Uniota relies more on Clay Edler than Zane Trace relies on Austin Harris. And I said this last week, you know, and as far as team success go, is the SVC or the coaches going to follow that same thinking as Putnam and Adina – you know, I think that just because your team wins doesn't mean you have the best individual player. So I don't like that thought that, well, this team won, so they have to have a player of the year on their roster. You know, I think Clay Edler and Gabe Berkheimer asked to do pretty much everything on their offense. And, you know, those two are special athletes. You saw that going head-to-head. And, again, as Shane said, you know, that's nothing against Austin Harris. I mean, he's one of the better athletes in the area. I would put him up in the top five athletes overall in every sport in the area. But I just think Clay Edler, I mean, he really shined the Friday night. And I would if it were my pick, I would have to go with Clay Edler as well, especially after beating the Red Streaks in Berkheimer this past in week nine.
And Bruce, when you consider football's 11-on-11, there's obviously so many parts. That's what makes this even harder than volleyball, harder than basketball, is obviously Uniota and Piketon have good offensive linemen too.
Yeah,
they all have great weapons. So, you know, if Harris is your winner, am I going to complain at that? No, the guy's most likely going to win another gold football. And the object of the game is to take every snap and win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't have a problem with that. That's just kind of where I stand in terms of the eyeball test as I watch these guys play in their complete arsenal.
All right. Well, and Shane, you know, they also have – you got to look at this this too. I've heard the argument, well, you know, the difference between Edler, Berkheimer, and Harris is that Edler and Berkheimer can fling the football a little bit as well as run the ball. And I would look at that as, well, Edler and Berkheimer have – you know, Berkheimer had Travis Veach. Edler has Trey Ivey and Casey White. And, you know, Austin Harris has Darby Pillow and Trey Rittenhouse. Well, those are all great weapons, but you might see Zane Trace throw the ball 5 times in a game. You're going to see Uniota or Piketon throw the ball 15 to 20 times a game, and it gives them that extra stage to shine on, which is what I think, you know, kind of, I guess, pulls Edler and Berkheimer away in that conversation.
Fair enough in an individual thing, sure. And, again, I think that goes back to my original point of the Zane Trace offensive line will get its due as well. Good, great discussion there, yeah.
All right, well, of course, we would like to know what you think as well. So a little bit later in this show, we'll go over how you can contribute your opinions to these guys and give them some more things to think about. Guys, even with a lot of fall sports still to play, the fans did respond to Shane's post-game comment last week with a little basketball-related topic. Well, as we enter this segment, we're going to tell you that it's brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. And I really think that finally the weather has changed, and that means you'll probably need a few new local school sports apparel pieces. And you can find that at C&K Athletic Equipment. They are located in Circleville at 116 East High Street, and they are your source for local school apparel. You can also find fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. Give them a call, 740-477-9828, and they are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and they are closed on Sunday. Just tell them that SVC Sports Talk sent you. We did mention basketball last week, so we're going to kind of allude to that a little bit here. We had some feedback that said, or asked the question, how important, sort of a complex question here, so I'll get to the first part first. How important is it, and how much of an advantage, for basketball coaches to have the full roster in practice? We'll tackle that first. Shane?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, to say that it's not an advantage or disadvantage to have an extra week or two of practice, I think, is just being blind to the truth. I think that obviously you get them in, you get into conditioning. Now, obviously, if you have a more experienced team, you may not be hurt by not having them as much as if you have a younger team. But if you have a lot of youth on your team, the regular season is crazy with games and scheduling at school and when you get in the gym and the different things. And if you're a boys coach, is there a girls game that night? If you're a girls coach, is there a boys game on Friday? Your practice time becomes very, very limited. Where you really, really make strides with your kids is in that month before the season starts, where you really get to work and you can really break things down. You're not getting ready for a certain opponent. You're just really getting focused on yourself. So if you start losing 1, 2, 3 weeks to that, to say it doesn't hurt, it certainly can. So, yeah, it's not always the determining factor. I don't know how much it matters by the end of January, February, so forth. But to say it doesn't matter in the first month or two of the season, yeah, it does.
Derek, do you see anything wrong with Shane's summation there?
No, and I'll add to that. You know, with the Zane Trace tip-off classic comes to mind last year to kick off the season. They had 3 or 4 teams drop out some of their teams were not ready to play because football had gone so long. I mean, I think that says all you need to know. It's extremely important to have that full roster in practice. You get the offense down, you get your defenses, your schemes down, and you know, obviously, if you're canceling regular season games to reschedule because you don't have that full roster in practice, I think that just says all you need to know there.
Well, sure. The second part of this thought that was sent in is, if they do have fall athletes, is it better to have them playing a certain schedule in the fall? That is, are they a member? Are they part of the volleyball program? Are they football players? Are they cross-country runners? Does that make a difference?
Well, I think it does, because a lot of times with cross country, you know the schedule, you know their training. It's a different type of training, but you kind of you're probably not dealing with as many kids. A lot of times it's just an individual if it's not an entire team going. You know, volleyball, it's a different type of training. But again, I'll tell you where it really, really shows up, and Derek just mentioned this, is in football. Being a head coach in boys basketball when I was much, much younger, what I have found over the years, guys, is the high school body just isn't ready to play 10, 11, 12 weeks, especially when you consider the level of football you're playing in that 11th and 12th week. And it really starts to break down. It's something boys basketball coaches have to be really, really aware of. So, you know, obviously you can get hurt doing anything. But obviously in a sport like football, when you start talking about the level of football that's being played on down the line, that's something certainly to be aware of.
Derek, you got an opinion on that? What are your thoughts on whether the schedule that they happen to be running in the fall affects readiness for volleyball? Or I'm sorry, for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you this. I saw Matt Hoops at the game at Union and Pikeman's football game this past Friday, and I guarantee you Matt Hoops is sitting there praying Trey Ivey and Casey White and Clay Edler don't get hurt. We had Jay Riley from Paint Valley tearing MCL. He won't be, or tearing ACL. He won't be there for the Bearcats basketball season. So, I think basketball coaches are probably sitting there with their hands, you know, looking up to God, please, you know, don't let anything happen. So, you know, football is obviously the roughest sport. Soccer could definitely be in that conversation. A good example of that is Southeastern's Audrey Wheeler. But if you look at Southeastern's Audrey Wheeler, and even Ella Skeens in the volleyball, as soon as their season's over, mm-hmm. I guarantee you Mike Adams has them right in the gym and saying, hey, all right, let's go. It's basketball season now. So, yeah, I mean, as far as I guess a schedule you want to stay away from if you're a basketball coach, it's probably the football. Yeah. But you can never tell a kid not to enjoy his four years in high school. They only get four. So, you know, go out and have fun and enjoy yourself.
No question.
Yeah. And the other thought that we're going to talk about here is there's a lot of talk about playing multiple sports compared to focusing on one sport. We've talked about that time and time again. Do you think major injuries to key players will impact athletes playing multiple sports? We've kind of covered it in a way here, haven't we, Shane?
Well, in a way, but I think, you know, he mentioned Jay Riley and Derek. Again, you and I haven't had a chance to talk because I know you've been really busy with the stuff. I don't know if you'd heard on my shout this past weekend about Corey Wyman. Wyman.
Good point. Yep.
He's going to miss his senior basketball season. And you talk about just making you sick. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'd heard that he was going in for his MRI, and so I messaged him early in the week. He said, I find out on Friday, and then he messaged me back on Friday and told me he was out for basically the year. That was the ACL. And I mean, it's just, you know, to say it doesn't make you sick, to say as a basketball person myself, it doesn't make you step back and think about it a little bit. I get it. I guess what I would still tell kids is I know as bad as that hurts, that you can get hurt doing anything. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, football does give you a higher risk. I'm not going to sit here and be blind to that. You know, I hope not, Bruce. I had some people comment to me on Twitter, some really good SBC fans, mm-hmm. Giving some thoughts and prayers to Corey. They've been the same to Jay and other kids that have gotten hurt. But we've obviously had these things over the year. But, you know, I don't know. I think when I was growing up, I played everything in Little League. I got into the junior high, and so I love basketball so much. I didn't really play football beyond that point. I'd always loved football, but a lot of times I think that was the culture. I mean, we've talked about culture of, say, Uniota football compared to what if I would have grown up at a school like a Paint Valley, mm-hmm. or so forth. It could have been just the opposite. You know, I don't know. So, to me, you can get hurt doing a lot of different things. The football risk certainly is the contact and a certain thing. All I can tell guys is you train properly and take care of your body, learn your techniques, understand injuries are going to be a part of it. And if you love all your sports, then play them. You know, I don't know at the bigger school, Derek, if growing up that was any different than, say, at a smaller school. But it seems like to me that we have a lot of great multi-sport athletes, and I hate to see things like this discourage them from getting involved and taking advantage of those experiences in high school.
Well, I mean, we know that, you know, football is that moneymaker. Football is the, you know, America's, we're in love with it. And most of the kids, they can say the same. I mean, you look at a big school right now like Chillicothe, and you look at a Brandon Moffmer, who's a quarterback, and he's getting hit almost every play. You know, and again, if you think Eric Huffer's not sitting in the stands thinking, please, sure. God, sure. You know, he's doing the same thing. But at the same token, you can't go and tell Brandon Moffmer, hey, don't play football. You're really good at basketball, because he's really good at football too. You know, and Brandon Moffmer, he's a kid that could, you know, go to college to play basketball, but he chooses to play football as well. And to me, it just goes back again to, you know, Brandon's going to be probably an all-district player. I mean, you could say the same thing about Clay Edler in basketball. And, you know, he's going to be their maybe main defensive point guard, and he's playing quarterback for the Shermans, and he's getting hit every play. So, you know, you kind of take both of those guys in the same sentence, and there's others out there. I think that the key players, you know, they're going to get hit more in football because they're the key players. But you can't tell them not to play because of the awards, the rewards they're going to get. And honestly, a lot of different coaches will tell you, we encourage our athletes to play multiple sports. We want them to be active. We want them to stay in shape. Sure. But football on that end, obviously, is the biggest risk factor. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really heartbreaking too, just like you've indicated there, particularly in their senior year when they're, mm-hmm. you know, looking forward to that basketball and maybe baseball down the road. And some cases they get taken out and that's it.
Well, and Bruce, when you get to know these kids, you start to understand that they play all these sports. This might be their favorite sport, or maybe this is their best sport. But regardless of all of that, you hate for them to lose an opportunity to do any of those things when they only get four chances to do each of them in their high school career.
Yeah, but particularly it seems like when it's their senior year, that's when it's the worst.
No question.
Yeah. All right, Shane, let's take off and head to the hurry up offense.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's go back and give Crown Hill Golf Club another shout out. That's 740-986-4653. Again, for all your outings, you know, any type of events, their facilities are top notch. The course is in great shape. You heard me mention last week, I was up there about a week ago playing 27 holes. Really love what they've been doing with the place over the last couple years, and I expect it to only continue to improve. So now's the time to maybe wrap up some different membership packages or different things. Again, that's 740-986-4653. And as always, you know, Derek will go first here and I'll go second. We've got kind of a mixed bag for you this week, Derek, and the hurry up offense should be a lot of fun.
One fan wanted to know your thoughts on Chillicothe's new league, and do you think it does anything to move the needle on the SVC expansion talk?
Well, basically, when you look at this, the new FAC, as they call it, the Frontier Athletic Conference, which is just a terrible acronym. But anyways, you look at the conference and what Chillicothe's doing is they're getting rid of the Wilmington, East Clinton, and Clinton Massey, and they're adding Jackson to make a 16 conference. So when you look at the sports, does it make a difference? Well, sure. I mean, in football, obviously this year they would have won the conference, went undefeated. They played Jackson, run the table against everybody else except Wilmington and Clinton Massey. Boys basketball, they don't have to play a D1 Wilmington team, but they don't have to play either the Clinton Massey or the East Clintons of the world, which they usually do beat. But when you just look at as your overall, I mean, Chillicothe should dominate as they have without Clinton Massey, without Wilmington. Other than the football field when Jackson, they have a very good program there. So as far as moving the needle on the expansion talk, I hope so. I know there was talk about asking Waverly, Uniota to join this the Frontier Athletic Conference, and obviously that didn't happen. But I don't think there's a direct correlation between the forming of the Frontier Athletic Conference and the SEC expansion, because you now have a 16 league that's been formed. And none of those teams are going to go into the SVC, so I don't think it does anything to move that needle.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to sit here and talk negatively about another league. I mean, I wish them the best. I hope this is finally something that they can settle in for more than just, you know, a handful of years and have some long term success with, because I think that's what stability is, what makes a conference great. But I think it's just another example of a league scrambling and why we do not want to be a part of that here in the SVC. I mean, we've said it before, unless we have an individual school, unless someone like a bigger school like the Uniota Zane Trace Westfall looks at geography or looks at different things and says, hey, kind of time for us to move on, which they always have the right to do, then we would have to react. Or maybe a Paint Valley Adena going small, something, then we would have to react. But while our eight SVC schools are SVC strong, I just think this is another example that's out there on why we want to stay put and what can happen when you start scrambling every 3 or 4 years trying to form different conferences.
We've been spending a lot of time talking about the league's elite on SVC Sports Talk. Who in the SVC do you consider one of the league's best kept secrets?
Well, I love this question because, you know, if you look at the 10 to comprehend every yes. Every week, that's kind of what I try to do, is kind of, I guess, let the cat out of the bag on these best kept secrets. But I mean, I guess maybe if to name three or four, I would go with in football, I'd go with maybe Uniota's Cameron Bryce. He doesn't get a lot of credit there. A very physical kid, gets to the quarterback a lot, makes a lot of tackles for those Shermans. Maybe Piketon's Eric Mullins. Five interceptions on the year, leads the Red Streaks in tackles, and he's a big part of that offense. Then we'll go to soccer and volleyball. Soccer with Uniota, you maybe look at a Brindley Turner on their defense and their back line of the defense there, and And she does a lot of things that people never see. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet. She doesn't score a lot of goals, doesn't have a lot of assists, but she keeps the other team from scoring, which is just as important. And then in volleyball, obviously we talk a lot about volleyball, but I'd still have to go to Zane Trace and go to an Evie Bennett, who just maybe never gets her name in the paper. And that's completely my fault. But you know, I mean, she does a lot of things that is maybe doesn't get 15, 20 kills a game, but really anchors that defense as well. So maybe I would go with those four.
Yeah, I think those are all interesting things. And I do give you a shout out on those 10 to comprehend. I think you do a great job of this throughout the year. We've talked about that on earlier SVC Sports Talks here in the fall. But, you know, for me, I guess I looked to the cross country course. First of all, I think cross country in general is a secret. I think it's just the nature of how they report it or how they sell their sport. I think they know of each other really, really well in their cross-country circle, but a lot of times they don't really look to promote it. Other than maybe a website here or there, they don't really look to promote their kids outside of their particular sport. And I think with a Uniota and with some of those kids, I think one thing that gets lost is Ivy Bean. I think she's a kid that has been showing up second or third in a lot of these big races. And with Zane Trace moving down to Division III, her team's onto the regional now, and I could see the team, or if not, definitely her moving on beyond that. And I think another one, here's an interesting one, Derek. Yeah, Audrey Wheeler is a kid in the winter that we'll talk about weekly. I mean, you're talking about probably the second best player in the entire league and one of the top five players probably in the area. But, you know, she's a kid on the soccer field. Again, soccer is just now growing a little bit. Until I start to dig deeper into the sport, you don't really understand just how much her strength and her athleticism can really impact a soccer match. So I think she's a kid that the SVC knows the name, you know, from her winter and so forth. But I think in the fall, that's a kid that plays a big role in the Southeastern girls doing some special things here into the postseason.
In the opening of the show, we talked about everything going on in the fall. What are you most excited about in the remainder of the fall season?
Well, I mean, you got to look at the volleyball and that district and the Division III and even Division II with Uniota playing Galleon now. To me, you know, I get to watch pretty much every one of those remaining games, and I'm just excited to see how far the SVC really can go, because, you know, you really look at these sectional finals, and I mean, they're breezing through those. I mean, when you look at who they play this week in district competition, it looks like if everything ends up like it's supposed to and they play like they're capable of, we're going to see the same five or six teams in a district final even. So I'm kind of excited to see how far our SVC and the volleyball teams can actually go. It's going to be a lot of fun just to be there watching live, but I really think that at least three of those six have a really good shot at being even in a regional semifinal or even a regional final.
Well, yeah, I mean, the volleyball is anxious for me, Bruce, because I want to see – I don't get very many chances to watch the SVC play against elite competition, because they are so elite compared to everyone else down here. So as we get, you know, the opportunity, North Adams and Alexander, some of those teams, but even beyond that, seeing into the regional, maybe seeing a Tuskegee come in, or seeing Uniota get a chance to play again against the Logan Elm or so forth. I think that's one thing that really interests me, is seeing them get to play against elite competition. But I also think football is interesting as we get into the playoffs, to see just where does Zane Trace stack up compared to last year when they go to week 11, and then the Uniota chance, no matter who they would play, just Uniota having a chance to put their football team on that type of map for the first time. Those are all intriguing storylines for me.
Do you guys anticipate the SVC winter season bringing us the same excitement as the fall has here in 2016?
Oh, I certainly hope so, but I tell you what, they got some big shoes to fill. This fall season has been absolutely entertaining, fun to be there, fun to watch. I mean, everything about this fall season is exactly why I love fall so much. In the winter season, obviously, you lost a lot of talented seniors last year on both the basketball or the girls and the boys basketball side, and then you look at a wrestling season where the SVC, you know, did put four wrestlers into the state tournament. So, which is another, we talk about best kept secrets. I mean, you look at the Paint Valley wrestling program, the Zane Trace wrestling program, who's coming on. We'll talk about that more, I'm sure, in future shows. But I hope so. I'm not going to sit here and say yes or no, But they've got some big shoes to fill.
Well, I think the first thing to understand, guys, is how many things are going on in the fall. Boys, girls, soccer, volleyball, boys, girls, golf, football, you know, boys, girls, cross country. We even had a special tennis story this year. So I think that's the first thing to understand is the number of things in the fall. But, you know, I think to answer this question in some ways, obviously, what the thing that hurts a lot of the parity, the Uniota boys are going to be playing in a completely different league. The Southeastern girls probably aren't far off. So maybe some of the parity at the top is not going to be there, but I think throughout the league, we always get the great atmospheres. We always get the great matchups. I do think there's going to be some parity the rest of the way out through the standings on the boys and girls side. Then you mentioned wrestling as well. I think the one thing that makes it better for the true sports fans, the area is better in basketball. You know, like in football, a lot of elite football at bigger schools and so forth. Girls, we talked about volleyball, it's just not very good around here outside the SBC. It's not that the SBC is so good. It's also the fact that other schools aren't very good at it. I mean, when you look at the difference between volleyball and basketball, say at the Miami Traces and the Jacksons and even at schools like a Wheelersburg and so forth. I know that they're pretty good at both, but in basketball, you know, Ironton, Lynchburg Clay, so forth. So you get a completely different level of basketball being played in the area, which I think that adds to some excitement as well. So I know this is something we'll talk more about into the winter, but I think there's some factors there that could make this question be answered yes and no.
Okay, that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you, as it always is, by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and please tell them that SVC Sports Talk sent you. Guys, we have one other email that I want to kind of stick in here. Wasn't particularly on the schedule or anything, but I thought this one was a good one. And it's kind of keying in, Shane, on some of the comments you made last week about the way you'd like to see SVC volleyball teams picked and so forth, the all-league teams. And let me just read it to you here. It says, I agree with you that the SVC does it wrong when selecting all-league honors in volleyball. Basketball gets 15, and for volleyball to only get the same amount is a huge injustice in my opinion. First, there are more players on the court during a volleyball game than there are during a basketball game. Second, let's face it, the volleyball is much better in the SVC than girls basketball. You referred to Southeastern girls varsity basketball team as phenomenal last week on the podcast, but they lost in the first round of the district last season. So, Shane, will you be calling one of our volleyball teams phenomenal if they lose in the first round of the district this year? Of course not. If you are on the best team in the SVC in volleyball, there's a pretty good chance you may get to the state tournament. I believe we have a good chance of getting three teams to the regionals this year. Volleyball is just played at a higher level in the SVC than basketball is, and the honoring of players in the league should reflect that. So there's someone that kind of sees it your way, Shane.
Well, sort of. Yeah. And I think we go back and forth on this a little bit. I think there's some things we agree on. I think there's some things that, and again, I'm the first to admit my basketball bias takes over. People that have been listening to me for a long time know I love the game of volleyball. But where I jumped to the defense of basketball, everything this email just said was true. The only thing is we are basing these comments on the talent around us as well. So it's not only the great brand of volleyball we play, it's that sometimes I don't think we play as bad as basketball as people think we do. It has more to do with what's around us. What I mean is, you know, for example, Ironton, Lynchburg Clay, Eastern Brown. Yeah, I don't know why they're so bad at volleyball and so good at basketball. It's just kind of their culture and the way things have come about. You know, Miami Trace, Washington Courthouse, even Chillicothe to an extent. I know they've had the success in volleyball, but I think if you look at the level of basketball they play, it's a much higher level of basketball compared to the area in volleyball. So again, I don't know. Maybe it's coaching longevity, it's culture and communities. Maybe it's the little league situations we've talked about. Maybe it's the club volleyball compared to the girls in basketball. Maybe not as many getting a chance to play the game at a higher level growing up. But even though I agree, it's not just us. It's also what's around us. So keep this in mind. The SC girls are really good for our league, but at a higher level, we forget how young they were the last 2 years. I think the expectations this upcoming year for them are going to be off the charts. Obviously, the Uniota boys, when you compare them, you know, I started to do some of my early research on basketball. I'm sitting here looking at their roster and looking at projected rosters at other schools, and it's almost hard for me to do without, like, at least giving a little chuckle. You know what I mean? Like, oh my goodness, you know, you start doing the matchups and it's just crazy. I'm sure Coach Hoops enjoys hearing that, but you know, I'm sure Coach Hoops likes his name being mentioned. Now, what, we've dropped his name twice.
On
our fall show.
He'll be calling so, in.
Yeah. So, but I mean, again, I do. I start looking at the rosters, and you know, so because here's the thing, Derek. I would say to people, yeah, a lot of times it's a bigger, faster, stronger thing. Where volleyball, yeah, being bigger, faster, stronger certainly doesn't hurt. A lot of times the skill can really cover up a lot of those things. Your volleyball IQ, your coaching, your schemes, your different things can do a lot of things. Where in basketball, bigger, faster, stronger is a big deal. You know, you look at like West Falls girls the last, you know, what, 2, 3, 4 years here with the Stone Rock group. Their skill level was okay, but what made them so elite in our league was they were simply just bigger, faster, stronger than the competition. What I would say about Southeastern's girls as they get older, I think they're bigger, faster, stronger, but I also think they have a great skill level to go with it. And that's a big, big difference. You know, if you look back in our girls league or boys league, let me see. I didn't really prepare this for the show, but it was just kind of coming to, like, here's one I would use. Since we're talking girls basketball here, take last year, take an Ariel Sams and an Ella Skeens. Mm-hmm. You know, an Ariel Sams and Ella Skeens are two really good basketball players. Their skill levels are really good. Well, one's 5'1", one's 5'11". Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to think that 5'11 doesn't have a bigger, faster, stronger advantage in a sport like basketball, I think that happens. So I think that's where maybe I'm just trying to make sense out of why a Miami Trace or why a Wheelersburg or an Ironton or Chillicothe or all these schools play a higher level of basketball. Maybe that has a lot to do with it, where in volleyball it's a little bit more of a skilled specific sport and so forth. You know, Derek, I mean, you obviously media wise get a chance to pay more attention to the non-league because it's Chillicothe's league. You know, you get a chance to view a lot more outside the SVC than I do. Do you have any reasoning for the parity that seems to come across, you know, when we talk about girls basketball in our league and then how we don't always match up at the district level a little bit? Because what the email is saying is certainly true.
Well, I mean, I can say, first of all, you know, when they say Southeastern lost in the first round of last year, and that may be true, but Lynchburg Clay was a Final Four team and they were 24-1, ranked second in the state. So it's not like they got out of a, you know, or they lost out of a bracket that was weak. They lost to Proctorville Fairland, who got beat by Lynchburg Clay. But even if they got to that district final game, they're still going to get beat by Lynchburg Clay. I mean, they played Lynchburg Clay, I believe, at their first game of the season, and really, you know, kind of got just beat all over the court. I mean, but that Lynchburg Clay and that Proctorville Fairland, to me, I think, you know, you look at the question and you look at who they play in non-conference, and you look at a Southeastern, they played a Miami Trace last year and it was very close to beating a Miami Trace last year. But we, you know, we've talked about this before in Division III and Division II, Lynchburg Clay would beat Chillicothe last year. I mean, the Lynchburg Clay was no joke. Proctorville Fairland was no joke. I mean, I think it's the level of competition they play throughout the season. You know, when you're playing and against teams, and then no offense, you know, last year Medina was not a very good basketball team, and on the girls' side, when you're playing in Edina, and then Chillicothe is playing a Miami Trace, a Wilmington, a Clinton Massey, who were all you know, dominant at times. You know, obviously, you're going to struggle in the tournament against those same types of teams if you haven't seen them. So, I would like to see the non-conference games be even stronger for our SVC teams, and especially at the top with Southeastern. I know we talk about Southeastern like they've already won the league, but I don't think it's any question that they have that the most maybe talent on the roster just to start out with. And I'd like to see them put a lot more tougher games non-conference wise on their schedule.
Well, I think that's fair, and I think you'll see that with Uniota. Uniota's getting ready to load up with some good young kids, and they're ready to go on a nice run over the next 3-4 years here. But again, I think there's something even to just the level of athletes. I mean, you know, take a Huntington team that won 16 games last year. Huntington wasn't going to physically prepare Southeastern to go play, you know, Ironton. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a different level of athlete. And why are these other schools not getting these girls out for volleyball and getting the same type of coaching and the different things? That's probably a question we would have to go out and get media members and coaches from other conferences and ask them, because I have a hard time believing that if Laura Smith and Jimmy Hutton and Lori Coker and so forth and Aaron Reidenauer went down and started coaching some of these athletes that you see on a Lynchburg basketball team or an Ironton basketball team, that they couldn't put them into volleyball over a 2-3 year period and teach them to play pretty high level volleyball. I would imagine if you research it, what you're finding is you're not getting a lot of those same athletes out. You know, a lot of those Lynchburg girls basketball players are playing soccer, and so forth. A lot of those basketball kids are playing basketball all fall. So, you know, it's certainly an intriguing conversation. It's one that I look forward to having too. You know, here in the upcoming basketball shows. But I just wanted to throw that out there to start people thinking about how I'm the first to be critical of the SBC when it's time to be critical. But at the same time, I think you have to understand that sometimes it's not just all about us. It's about the level of volleyball and basketball being played out around us.
Well, and when you look at the Fairland and Southeastern, and when you combine those two schedules, I mean, Fairland is obviously who beat Southeastern and knocked an end to their season last year. They're a 20-4 team, and their four losses come, you know, to Ironton, who beat obviously Huntington, when they were also the Final Four team. And I think they lost to Ironton, we would have to check this, but I think twice last year. But they also beat teams like Ashland Blazer from Ashland, Kentucky, who's a very good team, Trotwood Madison, Tolja from Fort Gray, West Virginia. I mean, they go into other states even and play these teams. Or they lost to Gallia Academy, who was a very good team. And then you look at Southeastern's non-conference schedule, and you see the Lynchburg Clay at the beginning of the year. But then you see like a North Adams and a Jackson who's down, a Fairfield who's down, you know, I mean, Urbana, Washington Courthouse, you know, and I know that's in the SEOL, but Washington Courthouse is not on the same level as a Miami Trace. And then, you know, then you have Portsmouth Clay, and then you go into that OHSAA district semifinal, and when Proctorville Fairland's already played over here, Ironton twice, you know, I mean, that's another Final Four team. Then they're looking at you like, well, who have you played on your schedule? So, you know, I would like to see that level of competition up itself. And really, I think if that happened, they played more of those, you know, the Lynchburg Clays, the Miami Traces, even the Clinton Massey's and Wilmington's. I think Southeastern would be very successful. And I think it also last year, you know, and I know I may be defending Southeastern's basketball team, but it also has a lot to do with the draw, the tournament draw. When you get into that same type of district bracket with Proctorville Fair and the Lynchburg Clay, or even an Ironton in Division III, Division III basketball is no joke on the girls' side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you put Southeastern on the same maybe level as a Division II, where Chillicothe last year, where they beat Sheridan and then had to play Columbus East Academy in the regional semifinal, I think Southeastern would be district champion. I really do.
This is a lot of fun, Bruce, and I can only imagine the different levels of conversation and emails and different things we'll get, because I know there's a lot of listeners that are really hungry for basketball to start, and so, I mean, obviously we're going to continue to give fall its due, but I'm sure in the upcoming shows we have some fun winter discussion coming.
Yeah, we really appreciate the email, and folks, if you have anything that you want to talk to Shane or Derek about, you can contact them thusly. Shane is available by email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. He maintains two profiles on Facebook. You can contact him there. And you can also follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. And I want to mention he's been using Shoutomatic quite a bit and then tweeting out Shoutomatic. And he can get quite a bit of information in a 1 or 2 minute little thing on Shoutomatic. So that's part of come to you over Twitter, and you can just listen to his audio updates. Derek, on the other hand, he is the Twitter boy, and he can be reached and listened to and read from and so forth at at DW1509. He was just telling us before the show that His Twitter handle has been seen on some signs around the SVC, so we know that it's, we know it's getting out there. And then you can also contact him through his email at dweb@chillicothegazette.com. You can also always leave us a voicemail at DBK's Media Services listener line. That's 740-569-3254. I'll make certain that it gets to each of the gentlemen if that's the case. And we ask, too, not just providing input, but we ask that you subscribe to our podcast. You can do that with a podcatcher app on your smartphone, on your iPad, and so forth. You can also get an email subscription by going to any of the posts on the DBK Media Services website, and then you can always find SVC Sports Talk in the iTunes store. If you do, please consider giving us a great rating and a favorable review. We'll come out and wash your car or something like that if that happens, or at least they will. I'll be busy that day. Hey, we want to move in now to our post-game comments, and that, of course, again, brought to you by CNK Athletic Equipment. And they are on the web, www.cnkathleticequipment.com. You can find them at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. Let them know, too, that SVC Sports Talk led you to them. Guys, what's coming up here in the week that is going to begin tomorrow? We're recording this on Sunday night. So, Derek, what you got going on this week?
Man, this week is a bear with the districts, multiple district semifinals across the SVC with volleyball. Obviously, in Waverly High School is going to be a site for that all week long. And you can find all those brackets at the Southeast Ohio District Athletic Board site, SEODAB.org, if you're interested in support the SVC. And then you got the girls soccer with Southeast North Adams. Even Unioda plays Gallia Academy, which is going to be a great game on Wednesday for a chance to go to the district final. Then football, obviously week 10 is your last chance for some of the teams to get to hit somebody. Adina goes to Unioda, Zane Trace to Westfall, and Chillicothe to Wilmington. We'll be at all three of those games. And then Saturday, I don't even want to talk about Saturday. Saturday is just I'm one person and there's like eight games, so it's gonna be a challenge for me to cover all those, but we're gonna try. And hopefully the Bengals win again next Sunday at 9:30 in the morning. So I gotta go all day Saturday and cover games, be up late, and then I gotta wake up early to watch the Bengals. So
you're not going. You're not going. You're not going over to London to accompany them.
I thought about it, but see, I figured that I needed to cover volleyball more instead. And there's also that small incident of money that I don't have.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll be watching them on Fox.
Okay. Shane, what can the fans look for on the website and in the TVC this week?
Well, he said it really well. I mean, obviously the volleyball's all over the place this week with the Waverly and then Southeastern, where Union is going to be, and the Saturday is the interesting thing. And if we have the success we think we're going to have, there's sectional volleyball championships all over the place, the regional cross country, a lot going on. I think when we meet this time next week, Bruce, we're going to have a lot to talk about. And it's a lot of fun. But at the same time, I want to go ahead and encourage people, don't hesitate to start to send in your basketball comments, because I start to put those bank of questions together. I still have two football questions I have to get to next week. I haven't forgotten about those people. Their comments are a little bit more off-season based, and so I wanted to put those after the 10th week. So please, when you send your feedback in, don't think I'm ignoring it. I always try to get back to you on email, but if you're listening to the show and you haven't heard your particular topic, just hang in there with us, and we'll certainly get to it in the weeks to come. But it's a lot of fun. Can't thank you, Derek, enough for what you're giving to the show, because I think you're giving us a different perspective, which is putting the discussions out there in some different paths that we haven't been down before. And also want to give Derek a shout out, Bruce. If people haven't had a chance to read the cross country article that he had written on the Postage Girl, what a terrific story, the young lady, inspirational story there. So Derek, wanted to give you a public shout out on that outstanding piece.
Well, thank you. So hey, that was all made possible by Abby. She's an incredible young lady just to talk to. I was just a a bystander, an innocent bystander, and all that. She did all of that work. She deserves all the credit she gets.
Well, good stuff. And, Bruce, I appreciate going to try to get you out of here in under an hour tonight. I know the last couple of weeks, Derek and I got windy, but certainly always appreciate Bruce and the hard work he puts in. So, fans, let us know. We'll be back next week, and then I look forward ahead beyond that to some basketball shows as well. So, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SBC Sports Talk. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SBC Sports Talk. And visit SBCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SBC, 100% of the time.